Yes, it's Health Naturally on 2NURFM. Amanda McCreed with you, and I'm joined by our herbalist, Dennis Stewart. Good afternoon, Dennis.
Hello, Amanda. How are you, my dear?
I'm great, thank you. Now, Dennis, over the last couple of sessions, you've looked at herbs that are presently responding to the onset of spring. You mentioned chickweed and last week, stinging nettles. Today, you want to talk about dandelions?
Yes, I do indeed. A bitter herb, a very bitter herb, but remarkably useful as a food and equally importantly as a potent medicinal herb.
Excellent. Mm. All right. Mm. Well, we'll get on to that shortly. Does dandelion fit into your group of herbs that can be foraged?
It certainly does. And let me just remind listeners before we go into the topic in more depth that what we've been trying to do over the last couple of weeks is to take advantage of the season and observe that it has encouraged a lot of herbs in particular to show themselves. And we looked at the remarkable, pleasant, but still relatively unknown herb, chickweed, and we saw its benefits, particularly as the basis of lotions and particularly chickweed ointment, which has famously helped many people with dermatitis, with psoriasis, and one of my great colleagues, Robin Kirby, used it very successfully in things like nappy rash. So don't forget the benefits of chickweed preparations used topically. Some of them are available in good retail outlets. Some of them are available also in practitioner outlets. But chickweed ointment made its fame, I would argue, in the late 70s, early 80s, as a result of the work of Robin Kirby and myself working at her little laboratory in Arimba, and the rest is history. It took off. I still think it's in the marketplace. I wouldn't recommend it if it wasn't there. But we looked at chickweed from the point of view as a useful anti-itch, anti-inflammatory herbal cream, and we also saw that it could be used as a herb to include in salads with other salad vegetables. It's popularly used that way, dressed with a little bit of olive oil and lemon juice. And we saw how it was remarkably accepted by finches, particularly gullions and canaries. Now, I've reviewed, therefore, for listeners, that little talk we had a couple of weeks ago about the virtues of the foraged herb chickweed, which presently, if you look in your garden or in wasteland, you'll find its lovely little white flowers and lovely olive green leaves indicating its presence there ready to help us. And then last week we looked at the herb that's a little bit awesome to talk about, and that is the herb stinging nettle, which many people might balk at, but I spoke about the way in which stinging nettle has traditionally been used as a food, particularly what's called a pot herb, that is collected, obviously with gloves and protective gear, and then used, cooked with other vegetables, peas, beans, spinach. It was popularly used, particularly in the northern parts of Europe, particularly in Scotland, where I believe it's still used and collected, foraged. And I spoke also about how my dear father-in-law used stinging nettle and fat hen in the New England as a young man working as a shearer and a shepherd in the cold of the Armidale, Urala, Black Mountain area. That dear man spoke about the way in which they survived using and foraging the stinging nettle and then cooking it with other vegetables as part of their diet. It still does that, and presently, this weekend probably, I'll be going and having a look at an area in the Great North Road just outside of Bacolban, where at this time of the year it starts to show its head. I might collect a little bit, but also with stinging nettle, medicinally, let me emphasise this, medicinally, it is remarkably useful for bleeding conditions. Now, one of the conditions for which it's used is for chronic nasal bleeding. It's called up in the British Herbal Pharmacopoeia as an oral medication to be taken regularly for people that experience frequent nosebleeds. The regular use of that safe herb, stinging nettle particularly, in a liquid extract form prescribed by a competent medical herbalist can sometimes be very useful. And that condition which many ladies experience as they're going through what's called the menopause or prior to the menopause, where they experience what's loosely referred to as flooding. That's a very heavy period, embarrassingly so. That's a condition also which in the literature and in my practice over many years has proven itself to be useful literature in helping many ladies experience that condition of abnormal bleeding outside of the period or sometimes within it. So a very valuable remedy. One could talk ongoingly about the medicinal virtues of stinging nettle, but there are a couple that keep in mind a great hemostatic remedy and one also that can be used as a general support remedy for arthritic conditions with other herbs. And interestingly, and I didn't talk about this the last time we spoke about nettle, we were concentrating on the above ground parts of it, that is, its leaves, its fresh young shoots or leaves. They're the parts that are used to source as a food, and also traditionally they're the parts that are used in their dried form to make a liquid extract or other preparations. But in recent times, nettle root has become a great companion remedy with other remedies, including the American herb saw palmetto, to help help manage aspects of the prostate gland. In fact, in formulations today, you usually find a combination of nettle root and saw palmetto as two representative remedies, particularly for that early stage of benign prostatic enlargement, as it's called. We're not talking about cancer. But there's another area where the root of the stinging nettle is being used and used as a manufacturing starting material for helping produce preparations for men who battle the prostate enlargement. Now, in that context, you ask the question, does dandelion fit into my group of herbs that can be foraged?
Yes.
I would say most definitely, because if you like to go outside your back door, you'll probably find evidence of dandelion. I certainly know in our backyard it's starting to come out and manifest itself in its typical yellow flowers, and very shortly it will develop that single stem, which then produces numerous seeds, which as kids we used to blow at each other because they take off like a helicopter. But dandelion, again, believe it or not, is a herb, call it a herb if you like, which can be foraged. But let me point out, as we discussed before the program, Amanda, in certain parts of Europe, particularly in France, dandelion is cultivated as a vegetable to popularly be marketed in the marketplaces and used as a herb there, or a food, call it what you like, particularly as a salad vegetable, where its bitter taste is used to, how can I call it, give the salad vegetables a little bit of a tang, if you like. And that bitter taste of the dandelion is what gives it its reputation as a very, very healthy herb for the body generally. In fact, it's probably one of the most important herbs that a Western herbalist would use to address a multitude of conditions, particularly those associated with the gut. Now, we hear a lot about the need for gut health, etc. today, and I know it seems to be a little bit of a how can you call it, flavour of the month sort of thing, but if there's any herb that could contribute to gut health at every level, it is the dandelion. And I'm talking here primarily of the dandelion used as a tea or an extract or even a capsule, where taken, it can benefit the upper gut, it benefits the liver, it benefits the gallbladder, and it assists in regulating the bowel. Now, that's a big call for a herb to be able to do those things, but it is so remarkable that one is obliged to mention that. The bitter taste of the dandelion leaf not only buffers the taste of other salad vegetables when blended with it, as is the European habit, but the bitter taste of the dandelion, which, by the way, is very similar to what's called endives. If listeners have been able to use endives or the other vegetable radicchio, they'll get a bit of an idea of the emphasis of bitterness in foods. But dandelion is classically a bitter herb, and as such, that bitter taste of the herb is responsible for stimulating all the gastrointestinal activity of the herb that makes it so useful, for particularly for people that experience functional conditions of the gut, bloating, what we call dyspepsia. One could talk all day about this herb and still not exhaust the benefits of it. It's one of the three or four major remedies also that benefit the liver.
Can you give us a summary on dandelion and some references to follow up on the herb?
Yeah, look, it's very appropriate that we do that. Let me just mention that a source of information about this topic, fascinating topic of foraging wild food or foraging herbs in the field, the reference that I've been mentioning, which I think is on the station Facebook, the book written by the Italian gentleman, Diego Benetto. I've mentioned that previously. He has written what I consider to be a superb work entitled Eat Weeds, A Field Guide to Foraging, How to Identify, Harvest, Eat and Use Wild Plants by Diego Benetto. Google it. It's available. It's a recent publication. I've read a lot of works on this topic, and this surfaces as one of the best. The only other book that I think would be useful, and in the past I've mentioned it as a great source work, is that of a book written by the English lady Audrey Hatfield. I suspect she may have passed on now, but she wrote a book entitled How to Enjoy Your Weeds. And there's a lot of information in that beautiful little book pertaining to the same sorts of things that we've been discussing, the same sorts of herbs. Diego Benetto's text, written more from an Australian perspective, is magnificent in supporting a lot of what Audrey Hatfield said in her book, How to Enjoy Your Weeds. So, listeners, those of you that are interested in this fascinating topic of wild food, wild herbs, there are two references that I pass on to you, references that I've mentioned in the past, particularly Hatfield's work. There's a beautiful quote in Diego Benetto's book about the dandelion, and I wrote it down. I was impressed with it. He said, "For hundreds of thousands of years, as we have travelled together on our evolutionary journey, mankind has been an accomplice in the spread of the dandelion. And in return, the dandelion has provided us with food and healing. Yet we call it a weed." He goes on to say, "I myself see dandelion as the embodiment of nature's wish to gift us with health and food." I thought they were beautiful quotations which epitomised the importance of the dandelion as a food, particularly the fresh spring leaves of the dandelion, as a food with other salad vegetables or cooked, and certainly the dandelion as a food to, as a herb to look at for healing, and particularly for the gastrointestinal tract. It's a good way of saying that, and I think the Benetto said this also, that it's a primary detox remedy. Detox is the talk of the flavour of the month in trendy health circles, but he basically says that this is the herb as a detox herb. This is the herb to think of And I put it to listeners who perhaps are paying a lot of money for detox supplements and paying a lot of money for detox programs, perhaps do a little bit of reading around the dandelion and see how it can genuinely be seen as a herb that cleans the system, stimulates digestive activity, drains the liver and gallbladder if we use herbal and naturopathic language, stimulates healthy bowel activity, and therefore has a cleansing effect in the system, to put it simply. What more can you ask from a wayside herb? It's not bad, but
it's not bad.
Pretty good, isn't
it? It's not bad. Now, I just have a quick question. We've got about one minute left.
Okay.
You were talking about stinging nettles.
Yeah.
So if you put them in a pot,
yes.
Does boiling them or something get rid of the sting?
Yeah. When you dry them or when you boil them, the sting is neutralised. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been put forward for many, many hundreds of years as a pot herb.
Right.
So again, I say with listeners, don't go around with bare hands.
Oh, that hurts. I've been stung by stinging nettles.
Use gloves and long sleeves. But once it's dried or once it's cooked, it's neutralised and then carries out its remarkable function.
So you get a flavour through the food, or would you eat it?
No, look, you would eat it with other pot herbs, peas, beans, spinach and things like that. You'll find plenty of information on the net about how to harness stinging nettle as a healthy food and vegetable.
Excellent. Thank you, Dennis.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.